What's up, guys? It's a great day. This is Fuquan Bilal, and we are back with another great episode of the PFREI podcast series. We interview experts in the real estate business in order to provide you with some of the best investment strategies and techniques used by leading fund managers, financiers, house flippers, and more. We appreciate every single one of you for taking the time to press play on the podcast and hope you enjoy this new episode. All right, guys, we're back again with another great episode of PFREI, A Passion for Real Estate Investments. I'm your host, Fuquan Bilal. Oh, man, we got a great guest today, Max Keller. Actually, Max, you're the first investor on the show to talk about raising private capital in a while. I had maybe one investor when I first launched the podcast, but I'm glad we're going to talk about this today, and I'm pretty excited to get into this. So, you know, when it comes to real estate, you know, most successful investors would tell you that 80% of their time is focused on one or two things: finding deals and funding deals, right? So it's no secret that, you know, if you're a real estate investor, motivated sell leads are the lifeblood of real estate investors. You know, if you are highly in a highly competitive market packed with flippers and wholesalers, you know, competition for those, you know, those type of leads are fierce. That means lead generation involves seller leads is only one part of the equation. So you also need to be, you also need to have to convince those leads to choose you, right, over your competitors. So when it comes to raising money, a lot of people don't look at raising capital the same way they look at lead gen for finding deals. And you almost have to have a system set up the same way to attract private investors than you're trying to attract deals to, you know, get the fix and flip. And people really, they don't put a lot of time into that. So I wanted to have you on the show so we can talk to you exactly about that. Now, I know you're a real estate investor, you're a best-selling author, and you know, you do some consulting work, and you've been on a lot of panels. And you talk about this specific topic. So I want to talk about that a little bit. And, you know, just first of all, the first question I usually ask the guests is, why are you passionate for real estate investing? Let's start with that, and then we'll jump into it.
Yeah, well, I think it's, for me, it's just with the end in mind. So when I was a math teacher before I got into real estate, I loved teaching. I loved helping people. I was very happy with my career. The problem was, is I wasn't making a ton of income and I wanted to make more money. And what I love about real estate investing is I feel like unlimited opportunity to not just build more active income, which is, you know, our number one wealth building tool is our income. So that's what I was trying to solve for when I made the transition from teacher to real estate. But I love the assets, the ownership. There's so many countries that have restrictions on what you can own. And actually, yeah, I feel like active income is great. I mean, it's heavily taxed, but it still can do great things for you. But that ownership is really the balance sheet. It's just like, I don't know of any other way to build assets. And I've tried to build assets and net worth other than real estate. And it was always, I just, like when I would buy stocks or, you know, mutual funds and stuff, I never got a discount. And so being able to buy real estate when it's on an asset, when it's on sale and, you know, do forced appreciation and be able to have the leverage opportunities. I love everything about real estate, but it's mostly with the end in mind. And it's sort of, you know, no disrespect to real estate. I'm not like, I'm just using you, real estate, but I mean, I kind of am. I'm using it to build net worth, and real estate is just such an, I haven't found a better way to do that.
Yeah. I love real estate also. You see, passion for real estate. PFREI. So let's jump right into raising private capital. You know, by the way, how much capital would you say, you know, over your history that you have raised, which makes you an expert to be able to go out and write books about it and talk about it, you know, and then talk about, you know, some of the myths on raising private money.
Yeah, sure. So my partner and I are focused on raising private money in the Texas area, and we're raising it for a residential. Now we're starting to get into some mobile home parks. So that's going to start ratcheting it up. But together combined, you know, we've raised about $50 million combined in, you know, private money. You know, have a 100%, you know, track record for paying people back. And so that's where we come from, our background down here in Texas, raising money. And tell me, what was your second question?
My second question is basically, what are some of the myths that people have, that they, the challenges that people don't go and raise private money, that they would actually go after,
trying to get institutional money, because they think they can't do it, right? That's right. The reason most people won't pull the trigger, because they go, oh, I'd rather try to go to a bank to do it, because if I go to somebody, I got to have this long track record, right? I have to, that's one of the myths of, you have to have some type of track record, but yes. You don't have to have an extensive track record, because there's right. ways that you can partner with private investors on a deal to kind of build your resume, give them a piece of the pie, so right. to speak, to cut them on a deal to kind of get started. I mean, that's pretty much how I got started. I just didn't go out and say, hey, I need a check for $50,000. It was like, okay, I want to make you part of this deal as the lender and give some profit participation. And then I was able to build a track record with a few lenders doing that. Then I was like, okay, I don't want to split the profits anymore. You see, I'm paying you on time. So let's talk about that a little bit. That's what I meant. Sure.
Well, what you said earlier is like 24 karat magic. Your show is really good and you're very smart. I would just flat out, I don't say that on everybody's show.
I appreciate that. I didn't pay him for that, guys.
Yeah, like seriously, this is a absolute star in the making, 100% sure. Because what you said is exactly right. You have to have a program. You invest all this time in, I'll just speak from my own example. I invested a lot of time coming up with my program of how I would find motivated seller leads. But I wasn't investing when I'm, flipping houses in Dallas, Fort Worth. I'm a home buyer in Texas. I wasn't investing as much time in attracting and recruiting private money. When I did, initially, I had limited success, and because I was doing it the wrong way. I was focusing on pitching my deals. I was pitching, me, but I wasn't pitching value first. And so the approach that I take in private money is like the approach that we innovated in the motivated seller space. So, real briefly on my story, I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth. I leave my job teaching math. I flip over 100 houses. I'm feeling in a short amount of time, but I'm feeling very burnout. And so I'm trying to do a couple of things. I'm trying to figure out really what's my ideal person that I'm trying to target and message and go after, and then try to figure out how to get more of them. And so what I did was I looked through my deals and I found a really good niche on my motivated sellers for senior homeowners. I was like, okay, what are the challenges that these senior homeowners are having? How can I add more value and help them? And then I got the idea from an actual motivated seller who said, hey, you've helped our family out a lot. Have you ever thought about writing? You've been a wealth of knowledge. This is the key. Have you ever thought about writing a book about this? And I'm a home buyer. I'm a math teacher, not an English teacher. I'm thinking book is out of my realm, but I like the idea of being able to take the knowledge that I've acquired and put it into an educational document, as a teacher for many years before real estate, and be able to hand it out to people. And so I wrote my first book on senior housing. It was all the questions that my ideal motivated sellers had. And it was just like a giant FAQ. And I print out 100 copies and I started passing it around. I was leading with value. I was leading with education. I was leading as with a reference document. There were probably 30 different places somebody could go in that book. And maybe only two or three of the options pointed to me. So now I was leading as the objective source. I wasn't just trying to talk people into my options. So what happened was we won an award from the picture right here from Robert Kiyosaki, Innovator of the Year Award for the way we've innovated by basically doing educational marketing through how-to books in the real estate investing space. People hadn't really done that as much before. And so Brant Phillips called me and said, hey, he's in Houston. He's an investor. We met through a mutual contact. He said, hey, I'm doing the same thing that you're doing with your how-to book for motivated sellers, but I'm doing it for private money lenders. And is there some way that we can, and at the time I was taking my book and I was replicating it in all these other areas and letting other investors plug into it, plug into the licensed content and then create their own unique book. And they're using it in their local market to go get more motivated seller leads. But what is real estate about? It's about deals. It's about dollars. Well, we had the dollars part figured out. We were doing this very unique marketing. It was working for me. I've got these students all over the country that are plugging into our licensed content and we're making a unique book for them and they're using it and getting more deals, but we didn't have the dollars. Well, Brant Phillips had the dollars and he was using this how-to book and it was explaining all the pitfalls that private lenders run into. And he said, is there some way that we could work together and we could license this, because I'm using it to raise private money in Houston. You can use it as a tool for you to help raise more private money where you're doing your deals in Dallas-Fort Worth. But what about the rest of the country? And so we started making it available to people in other parts of the country. So the pitfalls is the education. A lot of times folks who are new to the private money space, they don't understand, they don't know the answers to the questions they have, like how to really vet a borrower, how to really vet a deal, because they're not real estate professionals, but they don't know the questions that they should be asking. And so what's cool about our program and the way we've set it up is that we don't pitch people on our deals. We don't pitch people on us. We lead with value. We lead with education and say, do you know that this is an option? Did you know that you can take self-directed, you can roll a 401k into a self-directed IRA and invest as a private money lender in real estate? Did you even know that was an option? Most people don't know that. They don't know what they don't know. So that's the biggest barrier that private lenders have, is they don't know what they don't know. And whether somebody chooses to use a book like Brant, myself, and our students use, or somebody does an ebook or some videos or just sitting down and having conversations, the more educational you can make it, the more you lead with true value. We found that that's been the fastest way to get results for us and make the private lenders feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, I definitely agree 100%. I mean, education kind of mitigates the risk, right? You know, some people pretty much will invest in you. Of course, you know, if you have the track record, they say, okay, this is a good operator. This person knows what they're doing. I'm confident I'm going to invest in them, but they have to have that education.
Yes.
The investment class that they invested into and kind of know the tricks of the trades, right? That you can do wraps, you can do certain types of things, what's prohibited if you do invest in your IRA. Right. Those things I'm pretty sure you talk about in your book, but you know, it's just so important for investors nowadays, especially now with what's happened in the stock market. You see a lot of money coming from the stock market. There's a lot of money sitting in IRA accounts that's not being invested. So creating something that gives them, you know, I would say I've written a few books and it's like a business card that people don't throw away, you know, right. And especially if it's something related to what they're thinking about doing, they're going to be curious. They're going to pick it up and read it and go, oh, I didn't know I can do this. Like you said, I didn't know I can do that. Oh, I'm interested in this. Let me learn more.
Exactly.
Even if they're not going to invest with you and they go to invest with someone else, at least you set them up for success to know, you know, and give them a good foundation to know what they should be looking for. How they should be secured, how they should be added as additional insured on a policy, all these different things that they don't know that that's benefit to them. Because most people would just say, hey, I'm just going to do a note mortgage and that's it. And they don't know what they're supposed to get, you know, whether it's the rents, you know, if they get assignment of rents recorded or certain different things in different states that you can do.
Right.
To add another layer of protection besides just the mortgage that gets recorded on the property. So,
yeah, you know,
it's good. And I'm glad that you actually created that book. And yeah, let's talk about the book a little bit, because, you know, what's really in it? Let's dig into that. How can someone on both sides, let's talk about first, someone who wants to go out and raise capital, what do they get out of the book? And then we'll switch over to what you already mentioned already for the investors. Let's talk about the other side now. What would somebody who's looking to raise capital, why would you recommend this book to them?
Yeah. So really what I recommend to people who want to raise capital is just whatever, however you choose to set up your program, the way that Brant and I have set up our program, the way that we've set up the programs for our students works, because leading with value is just never going to go out of style. The problem is that relational marketing, building true relationships takes time and there's really no substitute. The people that you're trying to attract, there's people, ideal people that you want to attract to your private lending program. What's actually more important is the people that you want to repel, because that's where you get into, you know, misunderstandings, miscommunications. Why do relationships fail? Miscommunication, right? So what's a great way to overcome miscommunication? A lot of communication, over-communication. Mm-hmm. How can you do that in a scalable way? Well, we have a book. It's going to be very hard for a private money lender to say that I didn't explain things to them I wrote a book for them about the subject. So why would a full-time real estate investor want to get involved in raising private money? I think that was one of your questions.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much more flexibility. You know, the person you know, during the downturns, the people who make the money are the ones who have cash or access to cash. Private money lending, just speaking, you know, selfishly, has allowed, you know, me and Brant to, you know, do a lot of great things. We've been able to get short-term money at a great value. We've been able to get long-term money. It's very flexible. It's very, I found it to be very easy to, a lot of people are just hooked on bank money. And then they found out in March that that's not always going to work. And nothing changed for us because ours is built on the relationships that we've built. And, you know, so we're funding our stuff 100% private money. I'm not saying that everybody does that. And I know there's different deal sizes. I'm just letting y'all know what's working for us is private money is a superpower. And so as a real estate investor, you know, they're so, I look at it altruistically too, right? So like when I was a teacher at an inner city school, I went to work, I got paid, but I got a lot of satisfaction from helping people. I still feel the same way. I go to work, I get paid, but I'm helping private money, you know, lenders who are very, very unsure about other investment opportunities. They feel very unsteady. And I don't want to get on the show and just bash the stock market. There's people who've done really well with it. And I don't know who it's for and who it's not. It's not for me. I couldn't figure it out. I never felt like I could really have an advantage. I never really could figure out how to get a discount. I figured out how to buy real estate at discount. And when I own real estate at discount, I just feel safer about it. But I would say that it's just our, the way that we structured our program, you know, historically writing a book has been, had a pretty high barrier to entry. You know, most real estate investors haven't written a book, you know what I mean? Because it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of money. You know, we've created a tool that I'm going to empower your audience with so that if they're a real estate investor and they're thinking about going down the journey, writing their own book about something, or writing an ebook, even just improving their website, whenever the time is right, let me know and I'll give your audience the link that we made. But we wrote the first of its kind. It's called the Real Estate Investor Book Writing Checklist. And it breaks down exactly who your niche is, who you're trying to speak to, how to organize the book. It's basically the framework of how we write all of our books now. And it's the guide that I wish I had when I wrote my first book. It just, there, I looked and there wasn't anything available. There were books on how to write books. You know, Tucker Max wrote a great one called Book in the Box Method. And then I met him last week at a conference. There were some books on how to write books, but not anything in the real estate investing niche per se. So we created this book. And so if there's somebody listening that's like a DIY solopreneur investor and they like the idea of leading with value, this book will teach you how to lead with value to a whole nother level. You know, people also who reach out to us are kind of more the, not the DIY investors, but the ROI investors. For them, it's just time is money. They leverage a team. They don't really want to get too involved in doing anything. They want to, you know, pay for speed. And so for that kind of person, how our company serves them and our publishing company is they can plug in. We made it easy for people to plug into some of our licensed content. So whichever route you go, whether it's writing it yourself, we hope this guide will help you. Or if you find some licensed content somewhere out there through us or someone else, plugging into it and just being the educator, leading with value, it just, you can almost never go wrong.
I like what you said. You said private money is a superpower. I got that.
Good. Yeah.
That was, I think, awesome. Yeah.
You know, a great life is about lots of great choices and lots of great options. You know, money is not the root of all evil, in my opinion. It's actually, I think not having money can be the root of all evil, because when people get really desperate, and their money is really tight, it forces them to make really, really desperate decisions and choices. So I think of abundance, and I think about, you know, us having the opportunity to bless a lot of people, empower a lot of people, and build these big, you know, organizations and a lot of wealth that we can spread around is a beautiful thing. And having those choices is amazing. And private money empowers you as the investor. It's empowered me. It's empowered Brant to have a lot of choices in our business.
Good point. Good point. Let's talk about the risk now. And this would be the last question I have for you on the show, the risk involved with raising private capital. You know, we know as the risk with the lender, they can lose their money. Like what's the most other, you know, thing they would loses, but they money. But let's talk about raising private capital from an investor standpoint. What risk do you have in raising private money? A few of them I could name is, you know, SEC regulated certain things. You know, you have to be careful on how you approach certain people to raise money. But just talk about from your experience some of the risks that you know, people would have raising capital.
Yeah. One that just like pops in my brain real quick is I've seen folks who they try to get their deal funded traditionally or through a hard money lender, and it doesn't fly. So they go private money because the person doesn't really understand the deal flow and they doesn't understand all the nuances. They just trust that person, and that's totally the wrong way to go. So I think the biggest risk is putting your lender in a bad position from your own lack of education. So if you're brand new and you're going, I always recommend to our students, we recommend people who come to understand our program. If you're brand new, get some of your deals funded first, hard money and traditional, because you need to really know what you're doing. This is people's life savings. It's not a faceless bank, you know, like, and you got to respect the bank's money too. So really, it's weird. It's like you want to get involved in private money as soon as possible because there's so many benefits, but jumping right into it before you have any knowledge or experience, I think that's not a good thing either. So really, do you really know how to get a deal? Do you really know how to structure it? Do you have a program? You know, borrowing money and just telling people to wire it to the title company and putting, you know, paperwork together 2 days before closing, that's not a program. So I'm really encouraging, what's helped me a lot, what I encourage other people to consider is really getting the knowledge and the wisdom to create a real program. Because if not, you run the risk of miscommunication. You run the risk of documents not being correct. You run the risk of overpromising people. You know, there's kind of two ways that private money lenders get ripped off. Number one is the person is just shady and they literally just take the money and run. And there wasn't the security that they thought, and they don't have a property to foreclose on. You've seen terrible things in the news. Okay, so that's number one. But the other one is that if a deal goes sideways and the person doesn't have the experience who's borrowing, and deals go sideways, and nobody can predict the future. Okay, anybody says they can, that's like a red flag. Anybody says I'm so trustworthy and honest, that's a red flag. That's what con men do.
Okay? Anybody say safe and secured?
100%.
That's red exactly flag. Right.
A lot of the same people, and I won't name names, but a well-known SEC attorney that I guarantee you know, and I know well, has said that there's like four words that they see on SEC subpoenas over and over again. And for life of me, I can't remember all of them, but two of them you just said. When you start hearing safe, when you start hearing secure
guarantee.
Yeah, actually, yep, I think, yep. you know them all.
Yep, yep. When you start
hearing that stuff, you know, every investment has risk. Usually, in the way that this planet works, is the more risk you take, the higher your upside is. Okay, so, you know, I would just say, you know, have a program because there's risk on both sides, and so, I don't like to just like jump right in with somebody. I like somebody to read our book, to understand our program, and really feel each other out first, and really get to know them for at least 6 months before we even talk about a deal.
Yeah,
and then have a backup plan. One of the ways that you know, people have been attracted to our program is when we show folks what we're looking to invest in and the real estate deal that we've, you know, got under contract. We're talking about the deal, and we're being conservative with the numbers, but then we're also talking about exit strategies. So if something doesn't go and the retail market evaporates, you know, can we put a renter in here? Can we do a seller finance note? You know, that's when you start hearing that, that's better. But when it's a lot of promises, that's kind of the red flag, you know, for me.
Got it. So three things I want to leave the listeners with is what comes to mind is how much money am I making on a deal? How am I secured? And when do I get my money back? Those are three questions that I try to answer when I'm taking money from somebody, you know. So if you guys listen, this is a great interview. I really appreciate your time, Max. Max Keller, this is awesome. This is amazing. So the book, I'm after him, guys. He's going to give me the link when this podcast posts. You guys are going to see the link that for the gift that he's going to give us and the information that he has. So let's talk about people. How can people reach out to you if they want to learn more?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. They can go to dealschasingyou.com and then /BILAL, your last name, okay, Bilal. So dealschasingyou.com/Bilal. And they can get some info. They can download a copy of the book if they choose, the real estate investor book writing checklist, and just understand what our company is good at. We're in the real estate investor credibility space. We help people lead with value. And so whether you decide to go DIY and figure out how to create your own program or plug into somebody else's, we think that there's some good videos on there and free resources that you can tackle. So instead of reeking of desperation and pitching your deals to people who are nervous and scared, you can really pivot and be the trusted expert, the advisor, the consultant, and really just be educating folks on their options, share what you do, and then attract them to your program. That's what we're all about.
Leading with value first. I love it. Max Keller, PFREI, another great episode. You guys can catch us on all the social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all that other good stuff. Thanks again. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and add value to our listeners.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Passion for Real Estate Investments podcast. Looking forward to providing you guys with more testimonials from successful real estate investors. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at @passion4REI. Thanks so much, guys. And until next time, it's a great day.